Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During the season of Advent, we've been talking about the one-word themes of the scripture lessons. The first Sunday, the theme was watch. The theme of the second Sunday of Advent is prepare. And the theme of this weekend is rejoice. And that's why the candle for this week is pink or rose, symbolizing the joy of anticipation for our soon and coming King Jesus Christ. But we talked about rejoicing last week. Remember, it was our last point. Remember, repent, and rejoice. But we talked about, where do you find that joy? You can't find it at Walmart or Target. So where do you find joy? You find joy at Bethlehem, because it is in Bethlehem that the Messiah, the hope of all nations, will be born. But what specifically will the Messiah do to produce this joy? Our Old Testament lesson tells us four things that the Messiah did that will bring joy. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. We rejoice in what our Messiah Jesus Christ did when he ministered here on earth, but also rejoice in what he continues to do in our lives today. We rejoice in the Messiah who, number one, opens our eyes. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. The first thing listed that the Messiah would do is give sight to the blind, and that's exactly what Jesus did. There are many examples of Jesus healing the blind. One is found in Mark chapter 8. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Mark 8:25. This is at Bethsaida, where Jesus heals a man who was blind. His eyes are opened. He now sees clearly. Imagine the joy that this man must have felt. His entire life is changed by Jesus. He sees everything and is now able to live in the light. Well, Jesus, what he did for that blind man, he also does for us, spiritually speaking. The Bible says that we are naturally blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan has blinded the minds of people who don't believe. We are by nature spiritually blind, blind to the spiritual realities around us, blind to our own sin. We actually think we're better than we truly are. We're blind to the fact that we don't love God and don't put him in first place in our lives. We're blind to our own idolatry. We're blind to our lack of love for other people. We think we love others, but naturally we are self-centered, self-absorbed, and just plain selfish. We're not only blind to our own sinfulness, we're blind to the one who can save us from sin, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because we're in the darkness of sin, we think, first of all, our sins are not that bad, but second of all, we can save ourselves from them. We don't see the need for a Savior. We don't see the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We don't see our need for forgiveness or our need for a Savior. But that is what the Messiah has come to do. Acts 26:18 says, he is there to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. The Messiah opens our eyes so that we can be turned from darkness to light. He convicts us of our sin, making us aware that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And through the good news of the gospel, he opens our eyes to see himself, to see the grace that Jesus Christ alone can offer, the forgiveness of sins through the cross. Through his work, we have been delivered from being slaves of Satan and have been turned into children of God. We're no longer prisoners of darkness, but we walk and are set free as children of the light. We know the forgiveness of sins that Jesus offers, the amazing grace of God, which gives light to our lives. As it says in the hymn, I once was blind, but now I see. The Messiah opens our eyes. Number two, he also opens our ears. Of course, again, that's what he did during his earthly ministry, right? The second thing listed is that the Messiah would open the ears of the deaf. Now, Jesus did that for many people, including a man in the Decapolis who was deaf, which we read about in Mark chapter 7. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. It's an amazing miracle that Jesus did for a Gentile right there in Gentile territory in the Decapolis. But it's the same thing Jesus does for us today. Jesus continues to do that same miracle. You see, we are not only spiritually blind, we are also spiritually deaf. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, the people's hearts have grown dull. With their ears, they can barely hear. He's not talking about their lack of physical hearing. He's talking about our lack of spiritual hearing. Because of our sinful nature, we're born not only spiritually blind, but spiritually deaf. We're unable to understand spiritual things, and the things of God are completely unknown to us. But Jesus Christ is able to restore our spiritual hearing through the same power that he restored the deaf man's hearing, by the power of his word. Christ's word, Ephphatha, restored hearing to the man who could not hear. In the same way, Christ's word gives us the spiritual hearing we need. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, when you read the scriptures, you can truly understand them. Now, when you read the scriptures, you don't just read words on a page. You hear the word of your good shepherd. You hear the words of your teacher and your Messiah, Jesus Christ. You can truly understand the spiritual truths of the Bible. Your hearing has been restored. Number one, the Messiah opens our eyes. Number two, he opens our ears. Number three, he gives us strength. Now that's what something else he did back in his earthly ministry. He gave strength so that the lame could walk. This is another miracle that Jesus performed for many people. Now, John 5 records a man who had been lame for 38 years. He was laying near a pool in Jerusalem known as Bethesda. He was hoping that the pool would cure him of his lameness, but had no one to give him the help he needed. In fact, he had no one to help him until Jesus comes along. Jesus is the one who helps the weak. Jesus told the man, get up. Pick up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed. How was this man healed? I think you probably know that by now. By the almighty, omnipotent, life-changing, reality-altering word of Jesus Christ. What Jesus says becomes reality because his word is all-powerful. That man is healed from the very moment Christ says he's healed. That's the same thing Jesus gives for us. Not only are we spiritually blind by nature, not only are we spiritually deaf by nature, we are spiritually lame by nature, unable to move, unable to walk in the ways of the Lord. We are always in darkness, and we're unable to do the things that God wants us to do. But through the power of his word, Christ gives us the strength to get up and follow him. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. On our own, we cannot walk in the light. We must remain in the darkness. But by the power of Christ and his word, he opens our eyes to see him. He opens us our ears to hear him, and he gives us strength to follow him. Now we can, by his power, walk in the light just as Jesus is in the light. To walk in the light means to do works like Jesus did. Good works. Works of help. Works of healing. Works of restoration. Doing those things which help others. To do God's will in our lives. We can't do this by our own power. No doubt about that. But taught by his word and strengthened by his spirit, we can follow Jesus and walk in his light. Each day, through the means of grace, we are strengthened. Through the Bible, through baptism, through Holy Communion, Jesus continues to strengthen us for the journey as we follow him. And the place where he is leading us is his own home in heaven. Each day we walk in the light of the Lord. Jesus, our Messiah, gives us reason to rejoice. We rejoice in the fact that he has opened our eyes to see him. We rejoice in the fact that he has opened our ears to hear him. We rejoice in the fact that he has strengthened us so that we can follow him. And finally, he opens our mouths to praise him. Now again, he did that for people during his earthly ministry in a physical way. Matthew chapter 9 records one such instance. As they were going away, behold, a demon-possessed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." Jesus cast the demons out of the man. The man speaks. The crowd marvels. They've never seen anything like this. And of course not, because there's only one Messiah, one man who fulfills the promises of Isaiah chapter 35, and that man is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus opens our mouths so that we might speak words that please him, words that please God. Through the power of his word, Christ has opened our mouths, so now we can talk to people about spiritual things. Now we can speak to God in prayer, and now we can give praise and honor and thanksgiving. We can rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, we can rejoice. Or as Isaiah 35 verse 6 puts it, the mute will sing for joy. We are those mute who have been given voice so that we might declare the wonderful praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We have a lot to sing about. We have a lot to be joyful about. And that's why Ephesians 5 tells us, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. The Christian life is a life of prayer and singing. We're not mute. We're to use our lips to either pray to God in times of need, or give praise to God when times are good. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. The Bible tells us the best way we can use our words if times are tough is to pray, if times are good to give thanks and praise to God. Paul and Silas did that in a jail cell in Philippi, right? They were arrested because they were preaching the gospel. But instead of being depressed about it or complaining about it, they used their words to pray to God and praise God. Acts 16:25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They're in a tough situation, but they took their needs to God in prayer, and before God even answered their prayer and set them free, as he indeed would, they had already begun singing hymns of praise. We have so much to be thankful about, so much to rejoice about, so much to sing about. Most importantly, rejoice in our Messiah, Jesus Christ. He has opened our eyes to see his salvation, opened our ears to hear his word, given us strength to walk and follow him in the light, and open our mouths so that we can sing songs of joy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.